I always wanted to be a scientist, ever since I can remember. The exact field in which I was obsessed changed week to week, from paleontology to ornithology to physics to entomology. As college got closer, I settled on biochemistry. It was around the time that I was graduating from undergrad when gene editing found itself on my radar. I became obsessed, so much so that I almost flunked my last quarter because I was so focused on learning everything I could about viral vectors, CRISPR, recombinant animals, and bacteria. But I made it through, and now I'm in a PhD program looking at the possibilities that lie in the CRISPR-Cas9 technology. My lab takes rats that are genetically predisposed to all manner of genetic diseases, and we try to cure them via gene editing. It's really quite simple when you get down to it, just like cutting and pasting. You clip out the bad gene with CRISPR-Cas9, then either provide the body with the correct gene, or hope the body repairs the cut correctly. I was working on a rat that had metastatic cancer. Tumors roiled under the thing's fur, great growing masses that partially immobilized it. Funny thing, cancer. It's immortal. It's just doing what cells usually do, but forever, never ending. Mitosis, splitting in two to create more of itself. That was the gene I was targeting, a gene that had to do with the mitosis that was faulty in the poor little rat. It's still hard to believe how stupid I was, how careless. I went to inject the rat with my cocktail of Cas9 protein and nucleotides. It squirmed at the sight of the needle. It squealed and bit my hand. I'm used to the nips of lab rats, but this bugger bit me hard. It drew a bead of blood from the crook of my thumb and forefinger. I yelped and dropped the damn thing, then nicked myself with the needle. There was no way that it got in. I told myself this for days, that there was no possible way that that nick allowed any of the gene therapy cocktail into my bloodstream. So, I told no one. My mouth remained shut when I began to grow the mass under my armpit. Impossible. It wasn't happening. It couldn't be happening. No, not to me. Not after all this work. Not after all I'd gone through to get here. No, I refused to accept it, even as the hard mass grew larger day by day. By the next Monday, it was so big I couldn't put my arm down over it, and when I prodded it, I felt nothing. It was numb. But it had gotten harder. Hard as bone. I called in sick. My professor, Jess, understood. She always did. I laid up in my bed, continuing to deny what was plain in front of me. I had given myself cancer, and it was growing so fast that I thought I'd break a world record within the week. Damn. I wish it was as simple as cancer. That day, when I called in sick, was the last good day I had. I slept and played a video game and got some homework out of the way. But all the while, I could feel the mass growing. Every so often, I would prod it and feel it, cupping it in my hand. And I couldn't help but imagine myself as the white rat, rolling with pernicious cancer. I was a goddamn science experiment. I was still able to make it till bedtime before I collapsed into a deep sleep. My dreams kept me sleepless though, and I tossed and rolled and sweated buckets in my bed. I dreamt of Grandma at the end of her life, except I was in the bed and she was standing over me, still skeletal like she was at the end. "You're going to be alright, Gregory," she said. "Just go to God, it'll be better." When I at last woke from my nightmares, my entire apartment reeked of old sweat and fear. I rolled out of my bed, still soaking from my sweat, and opened my window. Outside, it was dusk. The sun was going down. Had I slept for 24 hours? What was happening to me? I checked my phone and found that I hadn't just slept for a day, but for an entire 3 days. My notifications were blown up with my parents and my professor. Rocks dropped from my stomach, and my guts turned to water. It was worse than I'd thought. But then I realized that the mass under my arm, so huge on Monday, was gone. It was smooth as it was the day I'd pricked myself. I groped in my armpit, searching for something, anything that would betray the tumour. But there was nothing there. Just underarm hair and my lymph nodes, normal as ever. Before I could breathe relief though, I heard a clatter in my kitchen. My apartment was not big. It was a one bedroom, but even so, the kitchen was around a corner and I couldn't see into it from my bedroom. I peered out of my door into the living room. The kitchen light was on and a shadow moved around, pulling down ingredients from my cabinets. Stalking on tiptoes, I grabbed my baseball bat and crept into the kitchen. The shadow moved with practiced deliberate movements, as if it knew where everything was, as if it was home and nothing was amiss. I rounded the corner, bat raised, ready to bludgeon whoever was in my apartment. But when I stepped from carpet to cool linoleum and looked into the kitchen, I screamed. What the hell? The person, me, turned and looked at me. Oh, you're awake, the thing that was me said. Everything about it was exactly the same as I was, from the birthmark on the left ear to the slight bump in the nose where I'd broken it in a game of touch football. His eyes were exactly my shade of hazel brown, his hair the exact pallor of deep dark brown, almost black. I wasn't expecting you for a long time now, it said with my mouth. I made pasta carbonara. It lifted the pan and indeed revealed a perfect pasta carbonara, little chunks of pancetta sparse through the pasta. What are you? I breathed. My voice was not all there. I was a dog with its voice box clipped. It laughed. Don't you realize? It took a fork and spun it in the pan, scraping metal on metal, nails on a chalkboard screeching, cutting through the damp, sweaty air. It lifted the fork to my mouth and tried to feed me. I'm you. I didn't stop to think. I swiped its hand away. The fork flew from its fingers, clattering to the floor, spreading creamy sauce all over the cabinets. I let out a raspy scream and swung the bat. It connected with an awful crack, and the thing that was wearing my body stumbled back, blood exploding out from its mouth. You are not me, I screamed, though my voice was still weak with disuse. You are not me. The thing only looked up at me, smiling through chipped and missing teeth. It laughed, a full belly laugh that vibrated the air such that I could feel it in my chest. You can't get rid of me, it said, before spitting a bloody tooth to the floor, nerves and roots still attached. There were no more thoughts in my mind. I cocked back and hit it again and again and again and again. Each blow connected with its head and spurted a mist of blood each time I pummeled it into the kitchen floor. The thing's skull caved in and chunks of bone and brain gave way under my bat, oozing out like a slime mold searching for nutrients. I didn't stop hammering on the thing's body until my downstairs neighbor pounded on the ceiling at all the noise. I stood straight upright and dropped the bat. The ruined corpse lay asunder under the stove and the pan of carbonara. No, 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 no. I looked at my hands, my body covered in viscera. I blinked and felt a bead of blood drip into my eye. I just killed it. Whatever it was. I was crazy. I'd gone crazy. Or maybe this was an after effect of pricking myself with the gene therapy. Maybe I didn't have a lump under my arm at all. Maybe I was growing a supermassive brain tumor that was pressing my visual cortex. Yes, that had to be it. I needed help. I needed to go to the hospital, to have someone give me a CT scan before I hurt someone, other than myself, I guess. But first, I needed to be clean. Even if this was a hallucination, I needed the blood and brains and everything off of my skin. I stumbled into the bathroom and turned on the taps. I stripped nude and climbed into the shower, not even waiting for the water to warm. The shower floor turned thin crimson, and I was reminded of times when I was a kid when I'd go take a mud bath and my frustrated parents would stick me in the shower. Chunks of brain and bone and blood washed down the water. I gripped a bar of soap and I scrubbed, each stroke taking off layers of gore from my face and arms. I ran my fingers through my hair and found a huge chunk of cartilage. I pulled it out and flicked the slimy bloody thing into the shower floor, and I realized it was the thing's nose. Ripped and torn and leaking blood mixed with thick mucus. I vomited. Thick bile trailed out of my mouth in an unending stream, and I gagged when the smell hit my nose. It smelled like spent broth we used to grow E. coli in the lab, sweet and acrid like rotting meat. I spit, alas getting the remainder of bile from my mouth. I filled up my mouth with water and swished, but the taste of dead E. coli and stomach acid remained on my tongue. The shower ran cold before I was able to slow all the gore off my body. Even as I turned the water off and found myself sparkling clean, I felt filthy. I still feel filthy. I dried off and, naked, went to my room to get my phone and call an ambulance. But as I dialed 911, I felt a bump form under my armpit. No, 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 God, no. Before I lifted my arm to look, I scrambled into my closet and found the old shoebox on my top shelf. I fumbled with it and set it on my bed. Every second that passed, the lump grew bigger and bigger. I could feel it rub against my bicep as I flipped open the shoebox. Grandma's old six-shot 38 special stared up at me. I picked it up and fumbled with the action, trying desperately to remember how to open the cylinder. The lump pulsed and hardened under my skin, and I fumbled with the gun. At last, it popped open, and I managed to slide 3 bullets into the cylinder. At that moment, pain ripped through me, throbbing and pumping out from my armpit. I collapsed, still gripping the gun, and lifted my arm. The lump pushed out from under my skin, and I could see the features of my face, mouthing wordless under my skin, wreathed in pulsing purple veins. I screamed as it pushed through my skin, ripping out like a newborn through its mother's pelvis. I felt it wriggle through, out from under my skin, kicking and pushing and gripping with fingers and toes. It hooked a finger in my mouth and pulled with all it could, then like a pimple, finally giving way and slithered out of me and piled under the floor. The pain was so intense, I would have passed out had it not been for the surge of adrenaline that coursed through me. I pulled myself off the floor and looked down on my newborn double, exactly like me in every way, naked and covered in a thin layer of afterbirth. It looked up at me. "He told you, you can't get rid of us." I didn't wait any longer. I reached over and pulled the thing up by its hair and dragged it into the shower. It did not fight me, not at all, not even when I closed the shower curtain and stuck the gun inside. "You'll just make this harder for yourself. You'll see. You'll..." I pulled the trigger 3 times and filled the thing with lead. I heard a thump and a wet squeak as it collapsed in the tub. My hand and the gun came out coated in a spray of blood. I quickly moved to the sink and washed them both off. I set the gun aside and stared at the mirror, unbelieving. I gazed at my features, every scar, every dimple, every strand of hair, every freckle. The thing that came out of me were perfect copies. They were me. I was going through mitosis, splitting and reforming as 2. This was real, and there was only one way I knew to fix it. Still wet from my shower, I slipped into a pair of sweatpants, loaded the gun, and stuck it in my pocket. I went to pull on a sweatshirt, but I felt the mass coming back, pulsing to life in my armpit once more. No, not again. Not now. I stormed into the kitchen, stepped over the ruined body of the first copy. I pulled out an 8-inch chef's knife and waited with my arm raised above my head. Soon my skin began to pull and stretch as the mask grew. As soon as the face formed, I again drove the knife down into my armpit. I squealed at the sharp burning pain that erupted out from the knife wound. I cut a slash in my skin, revealing the face, slack-jawed, teeth broken from the blade's kiss. Then the mouth moved. I could feel warm breath hit the underside of my arm. "You won't win. You can't win," it said. But I didn't waste time. I drove the knife in over and over and over until the hot breath ceased flowing. Quickly, I dressed the wound so I wouldn't bleed all over the place, then put on my sweatshirt and stumbled out of my apartment. See, I hadn't had the mutation in my genome before I'd gotten injected. The gene edit must have repaired itself all wrong, and now this was happening to me. If I could get my hands on the Cas9 cocktail, I could stop this. It would give my body the chance to repair the edit properly. It was a long shot, and I wasn't even 100% sure that any of this was real. But it was my only chance. So I walked to my lab on campus. When I got in, Jess was there. "Greg, oh my god, where have you been? Are you okay?" I looked up at her and spoke, still in my raspy, weak drawl. "I'm doing great, Jess. No problems. I just came in for... I forgot something in the fridge." I stumbled over to the huge lab fridge and opened it. "What are you talking about? Greg? Greg, what are you doing? You don't look so good." "I'm fine." I didn't mean to snap at her, but at the moment, something just below the mass roiled and pinched a nerve, sending shooting agony up and down my body. "I'm okay, really," I said through clenched teeth. I rummaged around in the fridge for the right syringe. "What are you looking for, Greg? Greg?" Jess pulled at my arm, but I ignored her. Bingo. I found the syringe. I shoved it in my sweatpants pocket, then, on a hunch, grabbed a few vials of kanamycin, liquid antibiotic. I twirled and shut the fridge, then pushed past Jess and out of the lab. Jess followed me the whole way out to the stairwell, screaming for me to stop. But I couldn't stop. Not here. The feeling under the dead mass was growing in intensity. I felt like there was a snake wriggling just under my skin. I reached up under my sweatshirt and groped at the gouged teeth sticking out from my skin. Then the thing's head pushed against my hand. There was another one coming, but it had to push past the dead one first. I stumbled down the stairs and ran out of the building. I sprinted as fast as I could. On wobbly legs, I burst from campus into the little copse of trees at the west edge. A creek ran through the area, and the state cordoned it off as a mini wildlife refuge. Birds flushed and rabbits fled as I ran deep into the woods. I pushed out into a small clearing full of wild grass and shrubs. The pain was growing in intensity, the squirming growing ever stronger with every step I took. I collapsed and ripped at my sweatshirt. I tore it off my body and looked under my arm. The dead face was pulsing in and out, a turtle coming out from its shell. Then, at last, with a huge tearing groan, the face pushed out from beneath my skin and slopped onto the ground. I watched as the skin on my side stretched and pulled, and somehow did not break. The next thing squirmed up under my skin. I saw a foot kick out at my hip before another face tore through the hole in my armpit and clawed its way out. But they weren't done with me. Pain continued to wrench my body, and I curled like a shrimp in boiling water. More lumps under my skin, doubly as big as the first, tore up through my skin. Then two faces peeked through and fought one another for escape. Hands pushed out and widened the hole, and both copies slid out. My vision was going, my ears rang. I could feel my heart jumping in my throat, and I hurt so bad. I throbbed with sharp pain all throughout my body. I managed to pull the gun up level with the copies now standing over me. They just laughed. "You can't stop us now, Gregory," they all said with one voice. I shot at them wildly, shooting until the gun was empty. Then I collapsed. Black circles closed in from the sides of my eyes, and I lost consciousness. When I woke up, I was still in that little clearing, still in agony. The sun had set over the horizon, and the last traces of light were leaving the sky. I stood, somehow, through all the pain. My legs were gelatin, my eyes two burning embers. I managed to produce the syringe, bite off the cap, and inject myself with a full dose of the gene therapy. The corpse of myself looked up at me, mouth wide and its face slashed in 10 places. The eyeballs gouged out and weeping thick liquid down its cheek. I pulled out a single vial of kanamycin and dumped it on the body. It did exactly what I thought it would. It popped. The first spot where the antibiotic touched it bubbled and grew. Then the whole body bloated to 3 times its size and burst. Grey ichor spilled out into the forest floor, and there was nothing left of it but a puddle. I walked home. No one paid any mind to me. When I got back, I dragged the first corpse into the shower with a second. I cleaned the kitchen as well as I could, and dumped the rest of the kanamycin on the bodies. Days later, I woke, but I don't remember falling asleep, and I don't remember Jess coming to my apartment and taking me to the hospital. I was put on academic probation at school, having to spend a week in the psych ward to prove I was not a threat to myself or others. When they checked my blood, I was so relieved. They gave me a clean bill of health and sent me on my way. I tried to forget what happened, tried to go on with life as normal, albeit far more cautious with needles than I once was. And for a while, I did sort of forget. I had nightmares every night, but during the days, things were more or less normal. That is, until they found that man. Along the bike path, just outside of town, a cyclist found a body. A man who had the entire left side of his body ripped apart by what authorities labelled a black bear. But I know better. My babies are reproducing.